knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for
What's
you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
Well, my bright spot today, Jordan, it kind of goes along with the new recording setup.
Sure.
It's got me kind of inspired a bit about the potential of things, and I've started working on something that I don't want to reveal too much about.
Okay.
But I'm very reinvigorated by.
Well, that's wonderful.
In terms of a lot of the stuff that we talk about, like how boring Alex is in the present day I have found something that is tickling my interest bone, let's say. And so I guess this is kind of teasy.
So your bright spot is mystery, Dan.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. A little bit. But I feel like I found a direction I want to go down. I'm very excited about
that. Awesome.
And there will be more details about that forthcoming.
Of course.
Soon.
Absolutely.
How about you?
I have a bit of a mix of a bright spot, dark spot. So I told you my bright spot previously down the road, getting my partner a good birthday gift.
Right. I was so worried this was about things going
dog's,
bad
dog's
with the
dog's fine.
Dog.
Dog's great. God. She's doing perfectly. She's beautiful.
Scared
she's
the shit
smiling
out of me.
And happy. She played all day today.
Okay, cool.
I got her a good gift.
Mm-hmm.
I got her a tennis racket.
Right.
It was a good tennis racket.
You guys play tennis a lot?
We played tennis a lot, and I gave it to her early, right? Because her birthday's in the fall, so
sure.
Who knows? We might not be able to play, you know?
Yeah, tennis is seasonal.
But what I had in my back pocket was that on her birthday... Mm-hmm. I had scheduled a fruit arrangement to be delivered.
Edible arrangement situation.
Exactly.
Chocolate-dipped pineapple.
100% chocolate-dipped strawberries this time, right? So it was going to show up on her birthday. She was like, oh, my God, you already gave me your birthday. It was going to be great. It was going to be fantastic.
I like how that's how you imagine it going.
That's how I imagine it going.
I know both of you, and I don't think that's how it would have gone.
It would have gone exactly like that.
I don't know about that.
Surprise. Oh, my God, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
Oh, Jordan, you're the best.
Yeah.
It's 100%. Chocolate fruit.
It's 100% going to be the best.
Okay, whatever.
But then on Friday night, somebody rang the doorbell and I went up and it was the guy delivering the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not her birthday.
No.
And I looked at it, I grabbed it and I looked down and it had the correct date on it.
Right, it should have been delivered.
When it should have been, big on top of it.
Yeah.
And I just looked at the guy and went, and he was like, all right, man, good job, and then just left into the middle of the night.
You texted me about this complaining, and I berated you.
So mad.
About how I don't understand. The guy got it there early.
You don't get it.
Just hide it.
It's the gesture and the symbolism, uh-huh. Dan.
And it's perishable?
That is a big issue, yeah. It is now no longer going to survive to the birthday.
Well, the good news is that you two have been together long enough that it probably is a situation where you can get around.
We all had a great laugh.
The uncomfortableness.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's good. At least it isn't a thing where it could actually cause a fight.
No, absolutely.
Although
not.
I'm sure it did.
No, she loved it. It was amazing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy that the birthday present thing worked out and everything.
Yes, it was all right.
Speaking of all right, Jordan.
All right, Dan.
All right.
All right.
Today we got an episode.
Is it all right?
It's all right. All right. I don't know.
Okay.
So today we're going to be talking about October 2nd through 4th, 2020. I'm Dan. This is 2020.
Oh, God damn it.
Checking in over the weekend because I think there was news that rocked the world.
What was it?
It was,
There was, the book drop, nearby my place, it's shutting down.
Nope, that's not the news.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's like, unfortunately, Larry Nichols has passed away.
Oh, that's right, he did pass. That is a tragic moment.
The world will never be the same.
Oh, that's true.
He's
fighting
the
witches in heaven now.
I feel real weird about that because, I mean, I was aware that, like, he was probably going to die soon.
Sure.
So when I heard, when someone tweeted at me, like, an obituary for him, I wasn't surprised because I had been trying to, like, find a way to do a Wacky Wednesday about his YouTube channel.
Sure.
Because he's got a YouTube channel.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And it's just trash. Most of the stuff was awful. But the, like, lately there had been like some stuff about him being in the hospital and I was like, I don't know if I believe it. And I don't like, I had checked in on him not too long ago and it was that same thing. But as is the case with Larry, like he's been on death's doorstep for 10 years on Alex's show.
Totally.
So I never really knew what to take seriously, but I mean, he was one of the most cancerous forces in politics.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, I'm not in any way celebrating his death or anything, but
I think we can trace a lot of the style and bullshit of Project Veritas all the way back to fucking Larry Goddamn Nichols.
Yep, and so much of the stuff about Clinton fear comes directly from bullshit he put out.
Yep.
So, I bring this up because it does, you know, it's huge on some level. Like Larry Nichols is a huge force in conservative politics for the last 30 years 40 years. He died. And Alex doesn't bring it up at all.
It is here's
he's Alex's friend. They've been interviewing Larry Nichols for years.
Here's the problem, Dan. It's like if you and I were on the plane with the Big Bopper, all right? You're going to get lost in the noose. You're not going to be on front page obit, man.
I don't know, man.
You're not the most famous person on the plane right now, Larry. I'm sorry.
It bums me out. if only because of like the place that he should occupy in Alex's world. The place that he should occupy there is a celebrated place.
Sure.
And his passing should be a moment of reflection and recognition. As opposed to, I don't even know if it comes up.
Yeah, I don't.
And that's really sad because he dedicated his life to creating things that Alex could use to demonize his political enemies.
Yep.
And now,
rest
in peace,
you
Larry.
You can never explain to these guys that you are literally a cog in the machine of your own psychopathy. No one will care when you are gone.
It's a bummer.
It's a real bummer. And I guess they all kind of must know that.
Maybe. Anyway, I didn't mean to get into any of this.
Ah, that's fair. <I don't... laughs> You were trying to make a sleight of hand joke about Trump.
I was, yeah.
Here we are now, sad about Larry Nichols.
Yeah.
Well executed.
Yeah. Anyway, before we get into today's show, let's take a moment to say thanks to some folks who signed up our supporting show.
I love it.
So first, Kenneth B., thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Kenneth.
Thank you. Next, Niels L. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Niels.
Thank you. Next, Patricia K. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Patricia.
Thank you. Next, Andrew L. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you. Next, James R. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, James.
Thank you. Next, Megan D. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you. And finally, I'd like to give a shout out to a couple people who donated on Elevated Level. We appreciate that very much. So first, Nikhil S, N-I-K-H-I-L. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. Pekka K, P-E-K-K-A, last initial K. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. And Aaron, but one A is silent. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
We got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right?
Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large.
I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, Nikhil. Thank you so much, Pekka. Thank you so much, Aaron, but 1A is silent.
Yes, thank you very much to all of you.
If you're out there listening and you're thinking, hey, I enjoyed the show, I'd like to support these gents, too, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show. We would appreciate it, or...
What you could do is you could take an order for your generosity. All right, hang on to it. It's supposed to be delivered later. But let me tell you something. You are too good. You care too much, so you're going to take that generosity, you're going to deliver it fully, way too early.
Can I?
And it's going to work out well. I'm trying to do the tie it together
I
with
understand.
The bright spot thing.
No, I got that.
That's what, have you not gotten this?
No, I got that.
Your fury at me the moment I start talking is so disappointing.
Because it's 2-1-1.
What do you mean it's 2-1-1?
It's too simple.
It's too simple. What do I need from you?
something complex, something interesting.
All right.
The way this generosity gets to the charity, it should be something interesting.
Here's what I'm
going to
do.
Not just, oh, I got a package too early.
I'm just going to take transcripts of your older ones, and I'll just read those
Please
to you.
Please fucking do.
Would that make you feel better?
Because those were gold.
Because those were gold.
Yes. Do that.
All right.
All right.
I like it. I think we're doing great with this bit.
Most likely.
I think the meta aspect of this bit is way better than the ever been the execution.
So, Jordan, obviously, when I said that the big news was that Larry Nichols has passed, that was, of course, a goof on the fact that Trump got COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
And the real fun thing about doing our show is that we recorded on Thursday, and I'm sitting here editing, la, la, la.
Yep.
This episode that I took forever to prepare about the debates.
We did a lot of work.
And then as I'm editing, news breaks that Trump got a positive test for COVID, and I'm like, well, fuck me.
Yep.
Now I don't get a weekend.
Nuh-uh.
Now we should do an emergency episode. Yep. And thankfully we didn't do that, because there wouldn't have been cause to based on the content that Alex was putting out. But you know, it did make the episode that we put out feel a little bit old immediately.
Yeah,
the news
much.
Cycle had moved on from the debate.
Instantly. The debate has gone from everyone's mind forever.
So we're recording this on Sunday evening, and who knows what will be the reality we're in by Monday.
Yeah.
when you're listening to this, something might have happened we don't know about.
If Trump dies at 3 a.m. Monday morning, and you listen to our episode hoping to hear what Alex has got to say, buddy, I'm sorry.
We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know yet.
This isn't live.
Yeah. So, Alex, I think in obvious fashion, recognizes on Friday, on October 2nd, when he gets into the studio, well...
Oh, this
That's
is
not
bad.
The right way to put it.
This is bad.
But as soon as he starts the show, he's got to bring it up.
Okay.
It's Friday, October 2nd. The year is 2020. We are 32 days out from the election that the deep state Democrats have said they will contest. And they will try to drive the country into civil war, balkanization, and even secession. And right on time, we learn that President Trump has tested positive for COVID-19. And so is his wife, Melania.
So he's facing this head on, at least.
Has anybody checked to see how Pachanik is taking the news that Melania has COVID?
Oh, he's got to be over.
He's got to be really struggling.
So worried.
Yeah.
Steve does not come into play on this episode.
All right.
These 3 days of time. No Steve update. No Roger. Nothing really.
I suppose you can't have those guys on. You might get too crazy.
Yeah.
But Jenna can't be.
Now's the time.
They infected the president, and now we've got to shoot everyone.
No, like, no. The president's at Walter Reed Hospital.
Yeah,
now is the time
yeah,
to
exactly.
take the White House.
Yeah, that's
that's
true.
What Steve would say. That would be dangerous.
So we gather 40 or 50 good men.
Mm-hmm.
Then we rule this country with an iron fist. Alex.
I don't need a State Department. I don't. Okay. Okay, Steve. So Alex says one of his big things is like, I called it. I knew this was going to happen.
Now, let's talk about this. Many times I have said that one scenario would be the president getting COVID-19 near the election date, and they could use that to try to put him under house arrest. How can the president, again, be put under quarantine and made to stay in one spot for 14 days? It's simply outrageous, and it's part of the paralyzation of our economy, where one person has COVID-19 in a meatpacking plant or a warehouse, and they shut the whole thing down.
So Alex had to dig up a clip from 6 months past of him saying that they might give Trump COVID.
Sure.
But it had nothing to do with like near the election or anything.
Yeah.
I've listened to this show pretty consistently, and I don't think that I would characterize that as one of Alex's big theories. I think that he might be giving himself a little bit too much credit for saying everything.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. Oh, 6 months ago, I speculated that Trump might get COVID, and now, aha, I'm right.
Yeah.
What? No.
Yeah. Considering the number and volume of theories that I have thrown at the wall, I'm pretty stoked that I got this one 6 months ago.
Uh-huh.
That makes it sound like I knew what I was talking about this whole time.
You didn't repeat it? Whatever.
Never needed to come up again.
So there's one approach that Alex is taking on Friday, and I think it's a little bit sad, but it is what it is.
No one else asked this question as of us publishing this about an hour ago. No one. I searched it. I got up at 4:30 this morning. My phone was ringing off the hook. I'd gone to sleep last night, had missed Trump's tweet at like 11:55 that he and Melania had tested positive, supposedly, for COVID-19. I wake up 4:30. My phone is loaded with text messages and calls saying President Trump and Melania have COVID-19. No, they've tested positive for it. So I searched, hey, is it a false positive? No one even asked that question until Paul Joseph Watson and I put this article out at InfoWars.com, which is scary because remember, you'd hear whole football teams had it and then it was all false positives.
So that's his first go-to. It's really interesting. Like, okay, what if it's fake? No one's talking about whether or not this is a fake. It's the fucking president.
No one's talking about whether or not this is a false positive because people understand the science and I don't. So I'm asking the questions that no one would ask unless they have no idea. Please, somebody tell me what's going on. Is the president going to die?
So
I hope he's not going to die.
This is the first volley. There's a false positive. And then you can make up your own sort of theory as to what's going on from there. Trump's not actually sick. Okay.
So would you give him a false positive?
Well, this theory might develop as the show goes along.
Okay.
I don't want to ruin any.
I'm going to need some more explanation for why this would make sense.
Well, Alex has that information that you need.
All right.
And it's the information that the world needs.
Okay.
We're 32 days out from the election. And we've got exclusive, beyond bombshell, game-changing, world event-defining, chill up and down the back of your spine level information. If people will just listen to me, and if we can just get Tucker Carlson to talk about this, and Sean Hannity, and Rush Limbaugh, and Glenn Beck, and Senator Cruz, and Senator Paul, especially a medical doctor, we can save America and the world.
We can save America and the world if everyone will just sound like me.
Dan, is you? Yeah.
That's silly.
Yeah.
Is
he recording from a bunker? Did he make the decision to go to the bunker?
It's interesting that you're asking that because he is not in studio.
I can tell that.
From the audio.
Yes. Yeah.
He's at home.
Okay.
And he's
taking a little work from home day.
Well, it's weird. He's at home for the first half hour of the show.
What did you say to me?
Then David Knight and Owen Schroyer take over. And then at the end of the second hour, Alex shows up at the studio.
Okay.
Does the show Nick Begich takes over in the fourth hour.
Okay.
It's very weird. I don't know what's going on.
I guess you just can't show up 30 minutes late for your show. You can show up 2 hours late for your show.
My big theory is that Alex was going to take the day off.
Yeah.
And then he woke up.
And the president died.
Well, the president had COVID.
Yeah.
He woke up at like 10:30 or something like that. He didn't have time to get to the studio by the time.
Yeah.
And so he called in to do the beginning of the show, then drove in.
Right.
That's my theory.
That's what had to have happened.
Yeah. It seems like it makes the most sense. Like he would have taken the day off for sure if this news hadn't broken.
Yeah.
And then he's like, fuck, I got to go in on my day off.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't one of these big pieces of news that I can just let David and Owen cover. I actually have to come in.
That's pretty true.
So the bottom line, though, is this is a false positive, baby.
Okay.
Listen to me very, 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 very carefully.
How carefully?
Not only do we have proof that this is almost certainly a false positive, and I'll present it in a moment, but then if we don't get Trump to understand that, and if he goes the Boris Johnson victim route and plays along with it, it will only help intensify the lockdown.
So Alex has this proof that this test is almost certainly a false positive.
He's at home. He's not even in the office. Where is he going to get this fucking proof from?
Infowars.com, man. Tons
sorry,
of headlines.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Tons of headlines.
No, that's on me. Yeah. That was on me.
Just search proof COVID. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. So the proof of that he provides is exactly that. It's just a bunch of headlines.
Sure.
Chinese state media gloats about Trump catching coronavirus, but really what he did is he got tested with something that, let's say if 9 times out of 10 you won the lottery, you didn't really win, would them announcing you won the lottery mean you won if 9 times out of 10 it turned out it wasn't a win? See, you'd be like, oh no, they've got a 10% chance of winning the lottery. It's the same thing here. It's total fraud, ladies and gentlemen. 90% chance it's a false positive. But where's the talk of more tests? It's the president. We want more tests. We want a blood test. We want it now.
They
they did so many tests.
Yeah. But thanks. Thanks, Alex, for demanding more tests.
In Alex's world.
Dork.
In Alex's world, all of the doctors at Walter Reed Medical Center are all like, well, we did one test.
Right.
Now we just got to watch.
Yeah.
Now we just got to wait.
He's the president of the country. We kind of did a test. Ridiculous.
That's so funny.
So 90% sure. of tests are false positives.
Right.
And Alex sort of connects this, like, I don't know where he's getting that information from, but he does connect it to a specific story. And I think this might be what it's all based on.
Mm-hmm. Continuing, Connecticut state lab finds 90% false positives out of 144 coronavirus tests administered in mid-June. I just have dozens of articles.
So Alex is lying about that headline.
Mm-hmm.
The actual headline is, quote, Connecticut state lab finds 90 positive COVID-19 tests were false. This was out of 144 tests that were done at a specific lab during the span of June 15th to July 17th, and 90 of them turned out to be false positives, not 90%. 90 out of 144 is 62.5%, which is still high, but Alex doesn't know any of the details of this story. This has to do with a lab testing procedure that this lab began operating in June 15th, which led to a lot of false positives. When doing validation of the results, they found this high level of false positivity and immediately went to work on reviewing and correcting what was going wrong in their process. This wasn't something that Alex and his intrepid patriot journalists dug up or something that anyone was trying to hide. It was discovered by the lab when they were doing quality control, and it was reported by the mainstream media, which is how Alex knows about it. The true version of the story doesn't call into question the validity of COVID-19 testing. It just highlights a part of the scientific process, where double and triple checking things can sometimes find errors in the way things are done, and then the way things are done can be improved. Only the fake version of the story supports Alex's conspiracies, which is why it's the only version he knows. In the real world, you can find a write-up from the Harvard Medical School which explains that PCR tests, which are obviously what Trump has got,
right.
have false positive rates close to zero. There are some concerns about false negatives, but the reason that the test is considered like the gold standard for diagnosis is because they're very precise when they're done correctly. Quote, the false positive rate should come close to zero. Most false positives results are thought to be due to lab contamination or other problems with how the lab has performed the test, not limitations of the test itself. A recent paper in Lancet discussed the issue of false positivity with COVID-19 testing, saying, quote, the current rate of operational false positive swab tests in the UK is unknown. Preliminary estimates show it could be somewhere between 0.8% and 4%. That's still a significant figure if you consider the scale of testing that's being done, but it's a far cry from what Alex is suggesting. To give you some context about how nuts it is for Alex to say there's a false positivity rate of 90%, the FDA put out a warning about a line of tests produced by BD back in July after a study suggested that 3% of their tests could be false positives based on concerns about the reagents that were used. The FDA, quote, told healthcare professionals to treat positive results from tests using the BD reagents as presumptive and consider confirming findings using a different authorized coronavirus diagnostic. This was because of a concern about a 3% false positivity rate. What Alex is talking about is completely disconnected from reality. There's just nothing to that.
Yeah, that's a... You know, it's like when you want to compromise with somebody and you're like on different ends of the spectrum, you know.
Uh-huh.
What you really want to find out is you only need to change like 55%. You know, you're almost equal. You're almost there. But when reality is at literally 90%... And unreality is, or inverse that, like reality is 3% and you're at 90%, we're never coming close.
It seems tough.
It's never coming to even.
It seems like making headway with Alex would be getting him to admit, all right, 85.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'll compromise. It's 95%.
No.
You're going backwards.
Yeah.
Am I going backwards? I thought I was going forwards.
Sure.
Yeah.
So this is supposed to be a list of headlines that are proving that Trump probably has a false positive test.
Sure.
And then this gets thrown in.
California will soon be paying $1,050 to people who test positive for coronavirus. That just incentivizes this whole damn thing.
What does that have to do with anything? You're just mad at a state giving money to people who have to shelter. Like,
they're lying and they're trying to kill the president. Also, some folks are going to get like $12.50. Yeah. I can't be allowed. I can't be cool with that. The president is dying, and they're lying about it, and they're killing him.
Yeah.
But seriously, people are going to get $12.50.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
The state of California is talking about giving this money to people who have to quarantine in order to help them be able to survive.
Yeah, and not spread the disease
which
further.
Which obviously means that they're going to go out trying to get coronavirus because they want that $12.50.
That's the only thing that makes sense to me, dude.
So weird. This thinking is so backwards and twisted. But it's weird that that headline is in this stack that Alex is using to prove that Trump's diagnostic test was a false positive, which is weird, and it shows that he didn't prepare at all. He doesn't.
No.
He's just reading.
He's still at home.
He's cold reading a stack of headlines. It's very sad.
That's bad.
3 Titans players, 5 personal tests positive for COVID-19. Suspend in-person activities, and then of course it turned out they didn't really have COVID-19.
So this is another headline. This one is really offensive. The story about the Tennessee Titans players and staff who tested positive for COVID-19 only broke on September 29th, and as far as I can tell, none of them have been shown to be false positives. I strongly suspect that Alex is just making that up because he just cold read this headline about people testing positive for the virus, and he kind of realized that this is supposed to be about the testing being fake, and not about how people are getting sick.
Yeah.
By October 2nd, the day that Alex is recording this episode, the Associated Press was reporting that the outbreak in the Titans organization was now up to 18 people testing positive, along with players on the Patriots and Chiefs who had to postpone their scheduled game this weekend. The reality of the story, unsurprisingly, appears to be the exact opposite of what Alex is reporting.
Oh.
As opposed to this being a case where they're all shown to be false positive results, it looks like the initial headlines about 8 people testing positive were only the beginning.
Right. Well, you think he's wrong 90% of the time, but he thinks he's wrong about 3% of the time. So I think you guys can get to a compromise here pretty soon.
I think we're in a classic pickle.
I think that could be difficult, yeah.
Yeah. So you might be asking, like, okay, what's the game with the false positive?
That is a good question.
Right.
I would like to know the motivation behind this clearly insane act.
Well, I mean, you know how the president drinks a lot of soda?
Okay, now
there
I'm
have been
sold.
All these coup plans by people in the White House. You had Mattis trying to organize a coup. And I said all along, one way to do it with this COVID-19 is to give him a false positive test. They could then poison his Diet Coke or something. He gets really sick, and they said it's COVID-19. So I would also advise the Secret Service to be extra diligent about what the president ingests.
Alex, you're going into reruns. They already poisoned his Diet Coke.
I was going to say, I was just writing down, like, this is from 2017? Yeah. This was when Roger Stone and Alex were like, they're going to kill the president. They're poisoning his Diet Coke.
They were trying to explain why he was speaking weird.
Yeah.
Like, it was disoriented. They're putting a slow-acting poison in his Diet Coke. His show is in syndication, basically.
Yeah,
but
this
is like breaking news. This is huge. You can't go back
to the
well.
No.
You need something new. This is boring.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was looking at some of the comments on band.video for this and like his video that he put out on Saturday, and a lot of them were like, grow up, Alex. A lot of them were pretty harsh. Like, just
that's
just like,
very
what
funny.
What are you doing?
That's very funny.
I think he might be close to reaching a breaking point with the audience. Like, this is absurd.
This is silly.
This is like, okay, so the conspiracy is they gave him a false positive test in order to have cover, in order to poison his Diet Cokes again.
There you go.
What? They didn't need to do that the last time they poisoned
but
his
they
Diet
didn't
Cokes.
Well, it didn't work last time. Maybe the problem was they didn't have a good enough cover for it.
Jordan, I would suggest it didn't work last time because it didn't happen last time.
You can suggest that all you want, but I am 3% positive you are right.
Okay. Alex has got to go.
In closing, before Owen Schroyer and David Knight take over, with the critical proof and analysis, you've got 3 days and a few hours to go to preparewithalex.com to get $300 off on a 6-month supply of the highest quality food.
Got to get some, got to try and sell some stuff before I drive into the studio.
Sure.
This is so weird. I mean, like, I don't understand outside of, like, I woke up at 10:30 and I thought I had the day off.
Yeah.
I don't understand what scenario could lead you to be able to get to the studio by, like, 1:45, but not by 11. Like, I don't know what it could be. It's just.
I mean, it could be. So I'm not willing to rule out something innocuous, like there's something with his kids. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody's got to go to school or something. I don't know.
Sure. That is a possibility. A meeting he couldn't reschedule.
Sure.
Maybe he had a meeting with a lawyer or something.
Lawyer, something like that, for sure. That's possible.
But even so, a lot of that stuff you can reschedule or you can pay someone to do. Like,
sure.
If his kid's got to go to the hospital, he has a wife. She could take the kid to the hospital. Trump has COVID.
Well, I mean, yeah, but, you know, everybody's still got to make it to the school on time.
It seems like Alex probably got wasted, woke up at 10:30, and he's like, fuck it.
All right, now you are absolutely describing what I immediately thought was
right.
What happened.
Occam's razor tells me Alex woke up at 10:30.
I was trying to be very generous.
Yeah.
I didn't even bring it up this time.
I mean, who knows? there's all sorts of possibilities, but only one of them really makes sense.
That's true.
So Alex does show up at the end of the second hour, and look, man, there's no proof that this coronavirus, COVID, with the president, there's no proof that
sure.
It was an attack.
Sure.
But maybe it was.
Could be.
In its mutations, they've already in a lab mutated it because it's engineered, and they know it'll mutate to not be harmful once they it's been in its host subject. But for the first gen, for the first person who breathes it or it's sprayed on, like Trump, it's extremely deadly. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happened, but Trump could be dead in 2 days.
Okay. We're all dreaming.
People are saying, oh, he staged this to make it look like he's a man of the people. No, when I found out that Boris Johnson, people that I know that were around, they said he did have trouble breathing and got really sick. Well, they obviously just sprayed some real weaponized COVID in his face.
Yeah, just sprayed Boris Johnson with some COVID.
All right. All right, buddy. This is a point where even Alex should stop and be like, am I here? Mm-hmm. I'm here, aren't I?
Wait.
People spraying COVID in the prime minister's face.
I said it was a false positive
when
I called in the show earlier. Now I'm saying it was maybe Trump got sprayed in the face with weaponized COVID.
Sure.
Or maybe he acted in ways that are specifically make you susceptible to catching it if someone is around. Maybe he did exactly what you would do if you were being not careful about a virus.
Maybe this is the only logical and inevitable conclusion that his actions have led us to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a situation where you can be careless 1,000 times and nothing happen if you're lucky.
Sure.
And circumstances are what they are, but that 1,001st time could be the time.
Sure.
that you end up getting unlucky. And when you do, you're unlucky.
And if you're at roughly chance 100,444,
mm-hmm.
Then yeah, sooner or later, by 1,445, you're going to get COVID.
And if you're at, like, I don't know, let's say 300,
yeah,
and the previous 299 times you've been fine, that doesn't change anything about the 300th time.
No, it doesn't
change anything about, like, the odds.
No.
Just because you got lucky every other time does not mean
it's been going on black for a while, Dan. It's that means it's more likely to land on red this time. Everybody knows that's how it works.
Man, wild. So anyway, there's a couple possibilities of what's going on. As we've already heard, Alex has a couple. Maybe false positive. Maybe they sprayed him in the face with one. Maybe someone wanted him to smell his flower that's on his lapel.
I like that.
Boom,
I would like
COVID.
I would like a crack team of international clown assassins to have taken out the president. That would have been nice.
Well, hey, look, here's the thing. This globalist came up to Trump with a seltzer bottle and just sprayed him in the face. Vaudeville assassination.
Yeah, right?
Alex lays out the possibilities here, and shockingly, Trump is dumb and behaved in a way that you would if you were looking to catch a virus.
Sure.
That's not one of them.
So again, they can poison him and then say COVID killed him. It could be a false test. Most of them are false. And that way he needs another test. That should be a top story. Is he being tested again? Or again, it's a real bioweapon, and they've already assassinated the president, and he's walking dead right now. And boy, that'll really help with a permanent lockdown, won't it?
Sure. So these are the three possibilities.
Honestly,
we've got.
I think it would shorten the lockdown immensely.
So these are the three possibilities we got.
Sure.
Either it's assassination or fake test.
Sure.
I guess.
Or another assassination.
Right. Yeah, the other one is...
Two out of three are assassinations.
Yes. It seems like that's kind of Alex's... Alex is big into that. That's kind of what he's pushing.
It can't be just an asshole who did exactly what...
No!
Okay.
It's poison.
All right.
So is Trump having a sympathetic response to a regular cold or flu going around the White House?
What?
Is it a false test?
What are you doing?
Has he been poisoned? Will they say he died of COVID, he dies of something else? That's how I do it. That's the easiest way. You just poison him right after you say he has the positive COVID test. Because they're going around testing the whole White House all the time. And so, oh, boom, test positive. 9 out of 10 tests are fake. Now they slip him the synthetic poison that'll cause him to have a heart attack. It'll metabolize out. They won't be able to find it in the blood. But now they're creeping in with the weapons. Trump could be dead in hours if that's the scenario.
All right. He's writing a spy novel.
I was going to say.
That's fun, but...
Whenever Alex says, that's what I would do, it's like, that's why you would be caught.
Yeah, immediately.
Months in advance.
Immediately.
Immediately.
You would be caught like that Elvis impersonator who tried to send rice in to pin it on his friend.
Yeah, totally.
So Alex gets into, you know how I started the show with my bright spot was kind of a tease?
Sure.
Looks like Alex is in a teasy mood, too.
Ooh.
We've got... the strangest of things happened to me today, and I have to leave it at that. I got some really interesting information from a very high level today, and I'm not able to give you where the information came from, but it's one of the reasons that I was not on air in the last hour. And this is incredible information, and I think when I start the next hour, I'm going to get to as much of this as I can, but I'm almost speechless right now. Just trying to digest all of this as best I can. We'll be right back. Infowars.com.
Least favorite genre of Alex Jones is the I have big bombshell news, which actually explains why I was an hour and 40 minutes late.
We're going to get into it.
We're totally going to get into it.
Huge news.
Now, I can't tell you where it came from.
Wow.
But it's high level. It's big.
Yeah.
We'll get into it.
I like whenever he's telling like extravagant lies for why he's late to his boss's the audience.
Yeah.
You know, like he's just like, no. Okay. So I was trying to get here on time.
Trust me.
Swear
Alex,
to God. No,
they'll put up with
it. I was trying to get here on time. No. I was trying. Just hear me out.
I need you all to really believe that I'm trying.
So there was a bicycle, but like one of those 1912 ones riding in front of me while I was driving my car. And then what do you know? The guy throws a little milkshake at me and we get into an old timey fight.
It turns out he's a globalist.
Exactly.
Turns out he's David Rockefeller.
And he's the one who killed the president.
David Rockefeller got some stem cells and now he's riding around in a... He's not really dead. Everyone says he's dead. He's not really dead. He's riding around on an old recumbent bicycle. And he throws milkshakes at Patriots and then you got to fight.
And so I'm late.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Who among you would not do the same thing?
Look, it's the cross I bear. So Alex comes back from break, and he's got some interesting thoughts about the media's coverage of Trump and his sickness.
We've got President Trump supposedly with coronavirus, and he's got a little bit of a cold, a little bit lethargic, they're saying in the media. Trump hasn't really confirmed that. They're showing a few stills of him walking yesterday and saying, oh, look, he looks tired there. You can do that with any stills you want, but
Alex knows that because that's what he does.
Yes, yeah, you can do
Smash
that.
Smash cut to every single time he's done something about Biden or Hillary. Oh my God, they're about to die.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, Alex, you know that game pretty well. That's why you can see it. So Alex has a guest who's not Steve Pachanik, who's not Roger Stone. It's someone named Dr. Carrie Medej. I don't remember how to pronounce her name.
All right.
Anyway, she's a doctor, osteopath, I believe,
that
who
sounds about right.
Believes that vaccines are all evil.
There you go.
She made a viral video, and so Alex is hanging out with her. Here's a little taste of what she's bringing to the table.
I've studied vaccines for... you know, since my early 20s, because I was very concerned about them. And I like to say that the vaccines are not what we think they are. And a little story just to give some of your listeners some history of vaccines. The tetanus vaccine, when I studied that, there's a long story behind that, but it turns out really it's an abortion vaccine.
Whoa!
Turns out it's not.
Holy cow!
Yep, good research.
That jumped.
Yep.
Woo!
So this Carrie, she has some interesting ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, vaccines evil.
Sure.
There are a bunch of different vaccines that are being developed and are possible candidates for coronavirus or COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie believes that there's only one, and Alex seems to believe that too. And it's going to be something that changes you into a genetically modified organism.
That sounds right.
It will change your DNA.
Right.
And they're doing that because this thing that it'll change or whatever they're putting into you is patented. Here, listen to this.
Okay.
You know, we can actually patent a gene or a genome of something that's synthetic. So technically, when we are getting a piece or this vaccine, and if it does become permanent within our genome, it's synthetic. That part of us can be patented and owned. People need to understand this because patents have owners. Who would own us? Who would own part of us? This is insane.
So basically the theory goes that like this vaccine would change your DNA. So let's just imagine it's just like, okay, it changes the DNA of your arm. And now Monsanto owns your arm.
I gave you that strand of DNA and I can take it away from you.
Right. That's the theory that
I do like that.
I would say,
ooh,
I don't think it works that way.
I'd like that as a new, like, I'm sick of the sovereign citizens, like, with the capital letters. Capital letters sound stupid. Mm-hmm. If the government, if you say that the government owns part of your DNA, now I'm listening. Now we're talking sovereign citizenship right here.
Mm-hmm.
Just remove your own DNA and then the government can't own you.
True.
See, that's science.
Yep. So, Alex, shockingly, when he called into the show, it worked totally fine. There were no problems audio-wise. Well, everything went fine, probably because he's hard-lined in.
Sure.
Unfortunately, that is not the case for this doctor.
Alas.
And in the animal studies, they looked like it was a success. Okay, the animals had a robust immune system. They had a great T-cell response. Great. But then they did a challenge test, which is unethical to do in humans, but they can do a challenge test.
You know, her Skype broke up. We're going to come back to her.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it did.
Every day.
Every single time.
Every single day. So her Skype breaks up in the middle of talking about these vaccine trials on animals. They were having, like, really, you know, in the past, they'd had these positive results for this type of vaccine. Mm. But then whenever they got a challenge test.
Right.
That's when the Skype cuts out.
Right.
So Alex decides, like, I'm going to pick up on this and I'm going to pretend that this was my secret bombshell news.
Okay.
This is amazing. This is Alex right here, man.
You know, her Skype broke up. We're going to come back to her. And I should have opened the show up with this. Because when they did the challenge test, it caused a horrible autoimmune response to whatever the outside pathogen was. And that is exactly the information I came into receipt of today. Serendipity, synchronicity, providence. What have I told you? I ran
plagiarism
into the head scientist at one of the major biotech labs. Didn't know who he was, found out, researched what he was saying, and it was all true. And what did he tell me? He told me a lie. What does the information tell me?
All right.
This is some Alex Jones bullshit right here.
What did he tell
He's me? Teased that he has some top secret, top level information. And the reason that he wasn't on the show earlier is because he was receiving the super important bombshell information.
Of course.
He doesn't say or even hint what the actual secret news is. But then when his guest Skype connection drops off right in the middle of her making a sensational claim, Alex piggybacks that and claims that that was actually his secret news all along.
It sure does seem.
Now, let's track exactly what Alex is claiming here.
Mm-hmm.
In order for his story to make any sense, I guess this morning, Alex randomly met the head scientist of a biotech company, but didn't know that this guy was the head of a biotech company.
Right.
This person presumably knew who Alex was and told Alex that the COVID-19 vaccine causes a severe autoimmune response to general coronaviruses, at which point Alex researched the information, found out it's true, and I guess in the process realized that the guy was the head scientist of a giant biotech company. Researching these claims made it so Alex couldn't get to work on time, I guess,
naturally.
Even though he would have known that Trump had COVID and he couldn't possibly take the day off like as soon as he woke up. Then Alex calls into his show and does the first half hour without mentioning this big secret news that he got from a big wig in the biotech field.
He wanted to confirm it as true.
Well, he must have done that already.
Yes, of course.
Then he shows up to the studio, presumably having just done a real deep dive into this vaccine and the autoimmune situation, but still doesn't see the point in bringing it up until his guest's Skype connection goes out. This is such a load of bullshit. It's such a transparent game.
He didn't want to steal her thunder, Dan.
Right.
He didn't want to steal her thunder.
Right.
Look, when you bring somebody on to drop a bombshell story, you can't undercut them.
It's remarkable, though, the way he does this. Like, you see this from time to time, but it's not always as explicit as this.
Yeah.
When he does the fake setup of huge bombshell news, and then something will come up later in the show and be like, that's actually what my big news was.
Yeah. That's better than whatever it was I was going to make up when it was time for me to lie about it.
Yes.
So I'm going to use that one.
Or if I don't come up with something that I want to lie about and say is the big news, I can just say, I'll get to it tomorrow. I got to digest this.
Exactly.
It's just too big.
Yep.
It's too big. He does this quite regularly, and it's pretty impressive.
It's a nice cheat.
Yeah. So he's got this fake doctor who's working at the biotech company who's told him all this stuff. And now this is interesting because Alex has a conspiracy about this imagined COVID-19 vaccine. This is improv right here.
All right.
Okay. I am almost certain that Alex is coming up with this on the spot.
Okay, this is off the dome.
You can see the wheels turning in his head.
If you take a vaccine for COVID-19, its main platform is a regular cold virus with a bunch of stuff stacked onto it. Genetic traits stacked on. It's called stacking.
It's plumping.
Straight plumping.
If you do that, and then your body learns to have an autoimmune response to that particular virus, it's so broad, you will now have an autoimmune response to the regular coronavirus that's so common, it's everywhere, making it where you can't even go outside because you'll get so sick from regular cold viruses. And so they're trying to get rid of your immunity to the cold virus. But not just your immunity, they're trying to make it where you're allergic to it, which is what killed most of the people in the Spanish flu, was they were allergic to the virus, not that it was actually replicating and killing them. They had an autoimmune response. And this is so diabolical, and the scientist was breaking down the fact that, and this is so critical, the scientist was breaking down the point that that's why they can't get an immunity with COVID patients and why it comes back, because it's so weak. The body doesn't even see it as a threat and won't create immunity to it. So they have to soup it up and add things to the vaccine that you're also allergic to, so you have an autoimmune response to both with the adjuvant. But then just like they used to grow vaccines on peanuts, so suddenly kids that ate peanuts would die because their body saw that as an outside pathogen because they've been given it in the flu shot or whatever it was they got when they were younger.
I'm guessing that he probably did talk to somebody, but it was like John Rappaport or Andrew Wakefield.
Sure, yeah.
It wasn't some high-level biotech scientist.
No.
Some just weird anti-vaxxer told him these things, and that wasn't why he was late this morning. That was just bullshit.
Yeah, that sounds made up.
But yeah, you can see the like little details he's trying to pull in
as he
goes through the conspiracy.
And he must have like smiled at the end of that and been like, how did I pull that 1918 flu out and then throw some bullshit about that's how it killed people? I don't know anything about the 1918 flu.
Yeah.
What am I talking about?
He's like some skater who lands a trick the first try.
Yeah.
How'd I do that? So anyway, this doctor that he's talking to is interviewing. I mean, they got to get her back.
Sure,
the Skype went out, but this is an important interview. She has a viral video.
Okay.
But we're joined by Dr. Carrie Maude here, and I really appreciate her coming on. That she's a medical doctor, and she had Skype cut out, never happens, and then her phone cut out. That was crazy. And with all the internet censorship
Scalers.
And big tech even getting into private messages now and censoring, I mean, who knows? They probably are doing that because they've been censoring doctors across the board.
Yeah, it's probably censorship. It never happens on your show.
Yeah, there's only one explanation.
Never, ever happens on InfoWars. Tech issues never, the Skype problems happen.
Dan, by your own logic earlier, just because it's not censorship 100 times doesn't mean that the 101st time isn't censorship.
It's not the same logic. I appreciate what you're trying to do, but it doesn't work. So we got to get this doctor back on, man.
Sure.
We got to get her to work. Get this Skype to work. Got to get her to spout her truth.
Well, I mean, it just makes your head spin. They want in our bodies, and then we learn what they're doing is guinea pigging and changes our DNA and makes us this new creature. This is like an alien takeover. I mean, whether aliens are real on another planet, Bill Gates thinks he's a god who wants to have this genetic revolution over us. Where do you think this is all going, Doctor? Her Skype's frozen again. Let's go ahead and play the full clip
Pelosi.
Yeah, this never happens.
Yeah.
Never happens.
Had censorship for
you. Had total censorship.
Now we're going to play this incredibly terrible audio of Nancy Pelosi in some lying fashion about her.
Yeah. So we get back to the doctor because they're going to give it another shot.
Sure.
And she has a theory about a magical app that will control everything.
All right.
And it will know what all your med levels in your body and all your vitals and every single thing about you.
And this would be done through the smartphone, through the health app that you have. If you look on your health app, you'll find drop downs. If you really look at subcategories, it tells you how many times you've had sex, how many you've brushed your teeth, the medicines in your body, the illicit drugs in your body. Everything about you is known. Your emotions are known. So everything that you're doing would be transmitted to your cell phone, which would go into the cloud and some AI connection. And then if it wasn't the kind of behavior deemed worthy or good for society, for the good of the whole, there would be repercussions. So.
Oh, she's getting censored again.
Yeah. And again, I see her do interviews all the time. Her Skype's being cut off. Her phone's being cut off. She's not doing this on purpose. This is the next level of it.
Yeah. It's the next level of the censorship as opposed to just a bad connection.
That's quietly a very dark thing for him to have said is I see her doing interviews all the time is him like deep down being like,
it's us.
This is us.
Yeah.
This is us. I
something,
see her.
Something on our end because it happens all the fucking time.
She's done interviews over and over.
Or it could be a combination of both. Like,
I don't
know exactly what it is, but it's definitely not censorship. It's you guys being fucking incompetent. Anyway, Alex decides four tries is a little
much. That's too much.
So let's just complain about Michael Moore.
Michael Moore says evil genius Trump could be lying about having COVID to postpone the election. Trump's going to win the election. It's Democrats that want to postpone it with mail-in ballots saying months and months, and then it'll never be decided. So see, if you have any intelligence, you know Democrats do the mail-in ballots. They want a lockdown. They say they're going to contest no matter what. They know they're losing. They want 20th Amendment. That's their plan. He comes out and says Trump's fake. He's not sick. He wants to hold off the election. When that's
you said he's
look
not
at
sick.
That man. Would you let him babysit your children? How about he and Brian Stelter pull up to your house as contact tracers? Oh, sorry, you didn't submit to the inoculations. We're taking your children.
Just
you know,
facts,
your children
man.
Are going to have a good, good time with Uncle Stelter and Uncle Moore.
I don't think they need that gig. They're both.
I don't know. They're doing all right for themselves.
Don't need to be contact tracers.
They're doing okay.
Is
that some sort of community service? Did they get arrested for something recently?
It's really weird that Alex is saying that like there's a false positive test.
Yeah.
And then he's mad at Michael Moore being like,
asshole for saying that this isn't a real positive.
You guys just both have weird conspiracies about what's going on, motivated by slightly different levels of distrust.
Both of you guys should calm it down.
Yeah. So this episode, this Friday episode ends, and that's where we're at, basically.
That's a big dud.
Yeah.
That's a big dud.
Serious problem. Alex should have just taken the day off.
Taken the day off.
He could have done that half hour at the beginning and been totally fine. There was no reason that Owen couldn't interview the vax lady.
Yeah.
It would have been totally fine. I think that it was weak from the perspective of
everyone.
Well, I mean, this is big. Trump got COVID.
Yeah, this is kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a real hard to wrap your head around a kind of situation.
Yeah. I don't pretend to know like what's going to happen or know who you can trust in terms of a lot of the details that are coming out, like whether, you know, like he was low on oxygen or what the temperature of his fever was. You know,
of course.
A lot of that stuff is very difficult to parse out.
Yeah.
And so it would be weird to say like he's gonna die. I have no idea. It's also weird to say he'll be fine. Although he might be. He might not be. He might be.
Exactly.
No fucking idea.
No
but
one.
What I can say with no qualms is this is big. This is very serious.
I agree with you.
There's all kinds of questions about the timeline of when he knew he was sick, what steps were and were not taken. Was he aware around the time of the debate when he went to that fundraiser? All these things. The Supreme Court party. all this
stuff. Just wild.
Is very serious and very real and important. And Alex came in and the best he had was, a lot of tests are false positives. Then he read a bunch of headlines, some yeah. connected, some not. And then he developed it to maybe someone with a COVID lapel sprayer yeah. hit Trump with a weaponized COVID. It's like, okay, this is the best you've got.
We gotta update that say. You know, like when the going gets weird, the weird turn pro.
Some of them.
But the already professionally weird literally phone it in.
Yeah. This is why he's being usurped by other online crazies.
Yeah, totally.
Because he's not willing to, like, I don't know, maybe he just doesn't have it in him anymore. He doesn't have it in him to, like, really throw himself headlong into damn the torpedoes kind of weirdness.
I mean, he's been beaten down pretty hard by the
last lawsuits.
Yeah. I would be, it's totally acceptable. I would find it reasonable for you to be like, I just don't got it.
Right.
I've been beaten too much.
Like Icarus, I flew too close to the sun and my wings are burned.
Look at all that I've accomplished. Now, I just can't. I'm not there anymore. I
agree.
With the young guns.
I agree. Yeah. And I would accept that too. But if you were in that position and you're someone like Alex, you better get out. You better take your money and run because you're going to be eaten alive by the young lions or the young guns.
Yeah,
they're going
Michael
to
Jordan
take you
was,
out.
Michael Jordan on the Wizards was still Michael Jordan, but he still got his ass beat a lot.
Right.
He was old.
And people cherished beating
they
his ass.
They loved it.
He was
great.
Michael Jordan.
But whenever he beat their ass, they were like, oh, God damn it, it's Michael Jordan. I didn't get beat by a 50-year-old man. I got beat by Michael fucking Jordan. You know, it's still cool.
So Alex, I thought, for sure, one of the reasons I didn't immediately think, like, let's do an emergency episode is, like, I think Saturday he's going to come in and he's going to do a special episode. Because he did about when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died.
Sure.
And so I figured, like, this is big enough stuff. Alex needs to do a Saturday episode.
Do you know when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died?
Gader Ginsburg.
Gader Ginsburg died? A year ago.
Feels like
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Nothing matters.
So Alex only put out like an 8-minute video.
Of course he did.
On Saturday. And
I hope he doesn't die. That'd really fuck up my day.
Well, I think by this point he realized, like, okay, false positive ain't gonna fly.
No.
That's not gonna work.
No.
What are we gonna do? Trump's in the hospital. Oh shit.
Evidence is mounting. The facts are overwhelming. Either the doctors at Walter Reed Medical Facility in D.C. are trying to kill President Trump, or they are the most inept idiots in the medical field that modern history has ever seen. They are giving the president two experimental drugs, one a synthetic nanotech antibody and the other remdesivir, and it's on record that you wouldn't give either one of these experimental drugs to someone unless they were in an emergency situation and in critical condition.
Well, I mean, the possibility there is that the case is more serious than you're allowing yourself to believe.
Yeah.
Like, I would assume, generally, that if this is the course of action that's being taken, then either Trump insisted on it or he has a case that requires that, and the doctors think it's a prudent course.
Yeah.
You know, with malpractice for just like you and me, normal people, doctors can get in real big trouble for not providing the best care. They can get sued more than Alex Jones.
I have seen the bills they pay for insurance, my friend. It's high.
If you commit, let's say, malpractice with the fucking president,
you're going to be fine.
Career over.
Well, I mean, you know, Bell wasn't remembered for that whole metal detector accidentally killing the president thing. So I think he'd be, you know, I'm sure if the doctor invented something that's really, really important to humanity, the whole killing the president thing would probably be forgotten.
Can you
right?
imagine, like, the next day after accidentally killing the president, you're that doctor, like, I got to invent something. Oh, shit.
Telephone. No, he already did that. Shit.
He's sitting there with, like, a sketch pad, like,
what will I be remembered for?
So this is basically,
I'm gonna get in that plane with the big bopper. No one will know.
This is basically all the Saturday show has going for it, is like these doctors are probably trying to kill Trump, which is, I gotta say, sensational, dangerous kind of talk, and doesn't do anybody a lick of good.
No.
So we come in on the 4th on Sunday, and this episode is possibly one of the weirdest things I've heard from Alex in a while.
That sounds right.
It's almost as if Trump having COVID and being in the hospital is kind of secondary. It's not the biggest deal.
I like it. I like it. That's a good angle.
There's another piece of news that requires okay. attention.
House Dems just voted to cover up government child sex trafficking.
In a 371-18 vote, our elected Congress appeared to be moving towards making pedophobia a hate crime.
So this is a really interesting way for Alex to cover this story. Apparently, his version of it is that House Dems voted to cover up pedophilia. In reality, the House passed a largely symbolic resolution condemning QAnon, which is slightly different than voting to cover up pedophilia.
That is very different, I would argue. Yeah. I would say that that is very different.
Additionally, it was not House Democrats who voted the measure through. It was overwhelmingly supported across both parties because QAnon shit has no place in sensible politics.
What was that, 371-80?
18 or 18? Something like that. I don't remember the exact
okay.
number.
And
yeah.
then, so if I'm doing the numbers on House Democrats,
yeah.
there are 380 of those about, right?
It was almost everybody in the House.
Oh, yeah, that would
voted
be in both parties?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is how the game is played, though. QAnon has done literally nothing to actually bring any child traffickers to justice, nor have they actually saved any trafficked children. And in fact, experts in the field have been very clear that the way QAnon people sensationalize the topic and focus attention in various bizarre directions has the real-world effect of making the actual work of disrupting trafficking operations more difficult. If you look at QAnon from a purely consequentialist framework, they're helping the very people they pretend to be bringing down. But they're also creating an unhinged cult behind an extremely right-wing aspiring dictator. So the secondary effect of their existence is the creation of a possibly highly motivated, politically driven group that will never vote against outrageously right-wing candidates and who will be willing to work for free to create social media campaigns branding their opponents of these right-wing candidates to be pedophiles and demons. The yelling about saving the children, though it doesn't result in any actually saved children, it's necessary in order to make sure that the group has some kind of plausible ability to deflect criticism and to turn attacks around.
It was all the psychiatrists, Dan. Uh-huh.
So when the House passes a resolution denouncing QAnon because it's a weird cult that has led to multiple violent incidents and has the potential to lead to a whole lot more, Alex can report on that as the House voting to cover up pedophilia. You see this game being played about all sorts of right-wing types. Tommy Robinson is one of the big ones that yeah. this tactic is deployed to cover. It's all just a charade. You use whatever optics and tools are available to justify and strengthen your dictator's grasp on power, even if it means carrying water for a group of lunatics who hate you and you've yelled about for years. That's what Alex is doing.
Yeah.
That's the top story.
I don't want to say, but it is occurring to me now that L. Ron really did know what he was doing whenever he decided not to like step into politics at all. Like, create your own kingdom mm-hmm. where you can't let, you know, this is what I'm saying. Like, whenever it's like you're in my reality, just get him out of my own do a Scientology thing. Go make your own fucking compound in the middle of nowhere. You guys can all believe in whatever you want. Just stay out of my business. Fuck it. I'll give you tax exempt status if you stay in the compound. You get your own internet, you get your own little place there, your QAnons, and then we get to live in our fun times.
I don't know. I don't think Alex has like strong fond feelings about compounds.
That's fair.
So that is what Alex
I wouldn't trust me if all of my enemies were in a compound either, so that's fair.
That's how Alex starts the show. That's the beginning of the show, but the top headline, like, it's not news, it's not the Trump is in the hospital.
Our top headline tonight on this Sunday, October 4th, global transmission, 29 days out, 107 until inauguration, is not President Trump at Walter Reed Medical Military Facility in D.C.
Should
That's
be.
Our second biggest story. No, it's not communist China threatening military action against Hong Kong and Taiwan. No, it's not the Democratic Party openly trying to plunge the U.S. dollar and destroy the U.S. economy to defeat Trump. That's all important. But at the heart of all of this is the Satanism of these maggots.
That sounds right.
And who they are, and what makes them operate, and what makes them tick. I'm your host, Alex Jones.
I don't know if what makes demons tick is the top story. I don't know if you can cover that.
No. The New Yorker does one of those every 6 months or so. They go to demon country sure. and they're like, we really sure. got to figure out, why won't you guys not like the Satan? And they'll be like, oh, well, I like his policies on immigration. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's the way that works.
The new well-dressed demon. Yeah, I don't...
God, those are not far off, are they?
I don't know if this is a good use of time for Alex, considering everything should be about Trump having COVID.
Yeah, you know, we've speculated on what would happen if and when Trump actually got COVID, mm-hmm. the disease that Alex has claimed is not even real.
It's not really a big a deal.
Yeah, apparently the answer is, it's definitely the second biggest story.
Yeah.
But, we're the devil's around. Have you met him?
You know what it is, I think? I think it's like, I got to kick this can.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen.
No.
And what happens will very much affect what I do.
Yeah.
Because, like, if Trump dies, Alex can't be like, these doctors are killing Trump. Like,
yeah.
That will possibly make his audience start shooting.
Yes.
But if he recovers, then... You don't want, I don't know, I just
and
feel...
And he specifically already said that when this happens, they're moving on the president and it's time to start killing.
I feel like he's just in a position where he's like, let's see what happens, which is dumb and not good.
I think this is a proof of my theory, which is that he blinked.
Mm-hmm.
Now would be that literally he's already laid the groundwork. The moment the news came out, if he was going to pull the trigger on like, now is when we start the Civil War, that's when you do it. Well, and he's blinking.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, that I think Alex might internalize some of that blink, and he might recognize it, because he's talking about QAnon and the way that, like, the House voted to condemn the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not heard Alex talk like this before.
Well, these videos of Democrat congressmen saying, oh, we're going to defeat you Q people, that's because the public is awake. They're aware, and now, even more than Alex Jones... The symbol of the deep state of the resistance is Q. And, you know, part of that is a setup so that they can pose as Q. That's why anything that's esoteric is dangerous. Anything foggy, you don't jump off a cliff into water that's, you know, brown or black or, you know, foamy. You want to jump into clear water. No, you're not going to break your legs.
Good, good. Yeah, I've not heard Alex say anything other than, like, I am the symbol of the patriots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The idea that he thinks he's second to Q in being a symbol of the resistance to the deep state seems meaningful.
It reminds me of Shadow Water. Whenever all of a sudden he's like, listen, I don't actually deal with those deep state guys. I don't deal with that stuff. You know who's the leader of this? Q.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody does something foggy... It's Q who's the symbol of the resistance.
That's
the leader of the resistance. Everybody, just so you know, the tip of the spear.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah,
that is an interesting possible way to read that.
Yeah.
Of like, shit's getting too real right now. Trump is...
Totally.
He might die.
I'm waiting for him to be like, I got kids, man. I've been lying this whole time. I can't let this shit happen. You guys are going to kill my kids.
That is an interesting possible cover your ass kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Huh. I didn't think about that. And it'll be interesting to see where things go.
Yeah, I would be. Yeah.
But I don't know if there's any strong indications of that from the rest of this episode. But I want to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're going to kill Trump. They're trying to kill him with these drugs at the hospital.
Naturally.
I don't want to be a fearmonger for no reason.
I want to be a fearmonger for money.
The drugs Trump's taking are way more dangerous than COVID-19. And even his own doctors at a press conference yesterday admitting we're monitoring him at Walter Reed Medical Facility because of the treatments that are more dangerous than the disease. Oh, don't worry. They're not giving him hydroxychloroquine. Oh, can't do that because that's, you know, an open drug. It's the patent's up. Anybody can get it for, you know, $50 or whatever.
Boo.
The whole regimen, so you can't.
Sold.
$50 is the high end. Oh, but remdesivir that Fauci makes thousands of dollars per dose on is an IV drug. Oh, that barely works 8% of the time and has side effects. Oh, that's okay. That's all coming up separately. We have the InfoWars emergency election sale blowout, our best-selling products that are so amazing. You need to experience this for yourself.
Cool, man.
Fauci's evil plan is to bleed Trump for a few grand at a time.
They won't give Trump hydroxychloroquine because it's cheap. silly.
Fauci doesn't get a cut of the hydroxy.
Now, there's a further problem with this, and that is, if you'll recall, a couple months ago, Trump said he was taking hydroxychloroquine as a preventative.
There is that, yes.
So that seems to indicate that that might not work.
It didn't really work, did it?
Yeah, or maybe he was lying. Who knows? One of the two.
Who knows?
And that's what gets us... That's what this next clip is actually about, but Alex misrepresents it.
Here's some of the headlines. Analyst: Trump faces credibility crisis over health scare. Oh, they're saying he says it doesn't exist. No, he said shut down travel from China. They've shut down their domestic flights.
No. The credibility crisis is about no one knowing what to believe.
Yeah.
The credibility crisis is about that. Like, he said he was taking hydroxychloroquine. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. Yeah. But now no one knows.
Yeah.
Like, no one believes anything.
No.
That's why, like, I think it's kind of irresponsible for folks like Michael Moore or others to be like, hey, he's probably faking this.
Sure.
You have no reason to believe that other than distrust.
Yeah.
So I think positing it is a little irresponsible, but at the same time, I totally understand where the impulse comes from.
Who knows what the fuck's going on? Anything could be happening.
Right.
We've seen them do, like, real crazy conspiracies because they think that Alex Jones's plans work.
It's understandable to have your brain go into those areas,
but
it's because of a crisis of confidence. Yeah. Like, no one believes this shit. These people are saying contradictory things.
You can't believe the president's doctor because the president's doctor is told to lie about his condition to make him look good. If you can't believe the doctor that is covering the president, you can't believe anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only, like, that should be literally the only job where you cannot lie at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just doctors shouldn't be, you can't lie. Isn't there something wrong with that?
I don't know.
Even if it's...
I don't know if that's in the oath.
I don't... Yeah, it's probably not in the oath. I think Hippocrates was probably like, well, there's no way somebody would lie about the president getting hurt.
He foresaw the presidency.
Yeah.
He was a psychic like Alex.
There's no reason to put that in there.
So by Sunday, Alex is kind of having to wrestle with the, like, well, when I suggested it was a false positive, it looks like I was wrong.
Yeah.
I think Trump is actually sick.
I think it might be a problem.
Now, the only thing that Alex can work with is playing games around, like, is he that sick? Is he sick enough to have these treatments?
All right.
Trump's blood oxygen level dropped rapidly Friday, sparking health concerns, Meadows says. So that's what the White House is now saying, that his oxygen level. And listen, everybody's good at, has a good eye. Trump looks like he lost 15, 20 pounds. He looks very narrow-faced, ashen, very white compared to his normal orangutan orange glow. So you can't fake sick. You know what that looks like. But is it a regular cold? Is it the flu? It doesn't matter. Is it COVID? The point is that what they're giving him, you don't give somebody unless they're on their deathbed. So we've got that going on.
So if you think that Trump dropped 20 or 15 pounds since the debate, that's severe.
No.
That's really fucked up.
That was a few days. Who does it? Look, you take a lot of zinc, you lose 15 to 20 pounds. Everybody knows that's how.
That's very unhealthy.
Nah, it's good for you.
Nah, it's good
for you.
I think Alex is like, I don't know, where is he on Dabda? Where is he on the...
I don't know.
He's somewhere in there. Starting to come close to, like... deal making, maybe. Speaking of making deals,
never gotten supplements, you've never gotten a film or a book, now is the time. It could be your last chance, because I'm in business, so I see the supply chain breaking down. I see a third of our supplements we can't even reorder, so everything we have in stock ready to ship to you, but it's selling out very, very quickly, and it's a scary situation. We're doing a money bomb next Wednesday night. For 40 hours straight, to try to raise extra capital to go into next year. We're not funded by George Soros, the globalists. We're funded by you. So thanks for taking action.
Get the money and run. That would support your theory.
Yeah.
It's time to get out.
I do
a money bomb and run
away.
That
wouldn't be a bad idea, honestly.
If I were him, 100%. Shit is getting too hot.
I know. I can't imagine making a plan that far in advance right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, next Wednesday, we're going to do something. I don't know what I'm going to do within the next 4 hours. Every Twitter update I get, I'm like, is this the moment? You know, like, what, next week? There is no next week, man.
There is a decent chance that I will fuck around and convince myself to watch that entire Money Bomb. But probably not, because I've done that in the past, and so much of it is just, like, replaying the same video.
Yeah.
Although I think it might be, it would be really fun to do that as some kind of a marathon or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't.
You could have a...
It's fun in my head.
You know what you could do? You could live stream it and have a nice little watch party with a bunch of policy wonks.
Could. I don't want to do that to people.
Yeah, well.
I might think about something.
All right.
Anyway, Hillary.
Really? Talking Hillary right now?
Well, I mean, do you know what happened?
I don't care.
This is actually really serious.
Okay.
I mean, Jordan, look in my eyes.
No, I believe you.
I'm very serious.
This is very serious. Well.
You know, even the article didn't pick up what it was. I looked Friday at the actual art, and I thought, let me search engine what's in this book. Far worse than the InfoWars article. I mean, you can guess. It's demons raping people. And that's what Hillary posed with the book. What the devil? Hillary Clinton has sexually explicit book of satanic glass porn.
Okay.
Okay, now, Dan,
yeah,
does he not know that Larry Nichols just died?
He doesn't.
This
he does not
brutal.
Know.
Yeah. This is brutal.
Well, he might know. He hasn't brought it up. But look, dude, okay, Hillary Clinton, I don't know if you know this, is now a podcaster.
I did not know that.
Yes, and so she had a picture of herself recording a podcast, and she had a laptop that was sitting on a pile of books, and one of them was an art book by this Italian glass sculptor.
Sure.
And apparently there are some things about devils fucking. And so right. There's devils fucking each other.
So,
but they're amazing glass sculptures.
Okay.
It's like this interesting art thing.
Right.
And so now Alex is like, oh man, it's devil rape.
Okay, so you're telling me that the president is on the verge of death, and we're having an argument about whether or not the Venus de Milo should be shown in schools.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
Blown glass.
Great.
In the shape of devils having sex.
Cool.
Is a sign of the devil.
I'm pissed, Dan.
Yeah.
We have been doing this for almost 4 years now, and I bet Hillary has more listeners than us, and I just don't think she's put in the time.
What
has she done?
Well, she was Secretary of State. I mean, it depends on what you think of as the legwork. You know,
I know.
I think her resume is much better than mine.
I know.
So, Alex has this weird thing. Okay. We're getting towards the end of the second hour of Sunday's show.
Sure.
And Alex is in a weird mood. He's talking about how he is the last person who gets the information that whenever they can't get the information out any other way, they go to him because they know that he's brave and he'll do it.
Right.
And that makes him a crap-covered toad or something. Mm-hmm. He sounds very bitter about, like, why am I not the first choice if I'm the one who's brave enough to put out the information?
We told you about the Nunes memo a year before he released it. And why? William Benny had just met with the head of U.S. National Intelligence and with Trump. He already gave the intel. They gave him the intel and said, no one's covering this. We gave it to Fox. Go on Jones's show and say it. That's how pathetic the White House is. I don't say that in a mean way. I'm pathetic, too. The White House has to get William Binney to call me up and hold my hand and go look at this memo from the FISA court, 2017, out for 6 months. No one covered it. I was the last guy they could come to. Imagine how that feels, like you're the wart-covered toad, like in the basement, in the dungeon, and then no one else will do it. And they open the door, and they go, okay, you have an audience, wart-covered toad. You can release it now. And then, of course, I get all the heat. I don't feel sorry for myself. I'm not like up here like, I'm the glistening Valkyrie in the war. I'm the wart-covered toad sitting on a pile of crap in my basement that no one wants to see. And then when everyone else fails, they open the dungeon door and say, little crap-covered toad, you can do it now. Oh, thank you.
You sound really mad.
Yeah. That doesn't sound good.
You sound so bitter.
That is bad.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I think a little bit accurate, though.
Mm.
Like, yeah, That's what they do with you.
Well, no,
they keep you in the cage, and then whenever they're like, we'll throw this bone at you, then you get to eat.
The people at Fox couldn't get away with putting this out because it's ridiculous, and they wouldn't make it past any kind of editors, even the shoddy ones that they may be employing.
Sure.
So, yes, Toad, come, come do this.
Hey, Dan, quick question for you. What would you call William Binney's warehouse where he holds all his blackmail material?
Oh, I hope go for it.
Binney's Leverage Depot.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Sorry. It took me a second.
No, it's pretty good.
I knew it was going to be a play on the liquor store.
Yes, of course.
But people outside of the Chicagoland area might not know that there is a Binney's Beverage Depot that is a liquor store here in Chicago. Maybe a couple other cities, but I certainly don't think there's any in Europe.
That's probably not true. They're not going to get that one. Yeah. I admit that. This is a little bit of a U.S.-centric show. I apologize.
So, Alex, you can tell there's a little bit of a different mood there, too. He's bummed. He's mad.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that he's getting a little drunk. I think he's. I think he started drinking during the first hour. There's a couple of points where you can really hear him take a tug on something.
Yeah,
but I don't. You know, It could be water. It could be something. I'm not saying for sure that in the second hour of his Sunday show he is in fact drunk. He's different.
Mm-hmm.
The first hour is. It is what it is. It's a normal, just Alex Jones stupid show.
Mm-hmm.
The second hour, he brings in John Bowne and Greg Reese.
Oh, no.
And this shit gets off the rails so fast.
All right.
Here's John Bowne talking about how everyone who's not like his kind of Christian is basically going to end up being working for Satan.
All right.
Even the people that don't think they're satanic, even if you think you're an atheist, at this point, you got to choose sides because you're going to end up satanic.
You're gonna end up satanic, dude.
Can I suggest that you will not end up satanic?
No, you're
you will
end
be
satanic.
End up being viewed as satanic by people like Alex and John Bowne.
Wow, there's that.
Yeah, it's like, hey, even if you are just an atheist or a Muslim or a Buddhist or Jewish, you know, like, hey, we're gonna call you Satanists eventually.
Nah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Get with the script. Or eventually, we will label you all Satanists.
Bowne, we play basketball at the YMCA together. I'm not a Satanist. Why would I even be allowed in there? Nah, you're a Satanist, bro.
Mm-hmm. So here is where I really got the sense that maybe Alex is a little bit boozed up. They're talking about how they don't prepare for these interviews that they do, which is great.
Not a surprise.
And then Alex is just getting fucked up.
You turn on, even turn on Fox News, turn on MSNBC, that just puts you right back to sleep. Everything's fine.
Here's what I'm saying. They all had pre-interviews before.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is we didn't do a pre-interview.
No.
They can't even imagine that. That's what I'm saying is it's just real.
No.
It's the respect of real people.
I showed up here. I ran into him in the hall. Like I just said, you know, I'm glad to be here talking to you guys about these things I think about all day long, and the
we
audience
want that.
Thinks
we,
of,
yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't take
we respect
any,
you.
Well,
we love you.
I love you,
John. You don't love you, right?
Yeah, of course I do.
You know, Greg, I love you, right?
Man. I love you too, man.
Yeah,
they could be shut down very soon. It makes me love every person here even more.
Well, and
we're so close. It's a quickening. I'm not even scared. I'm just like trying to say bye to everybody. You know?
Holy shit! Something is up. The mood changed so drastically. I don't know what it is.
Oh, man.
I love you guys. Just trying to say goodbye.
It's fun to brag about, like, hey, we never do any preparation for this show and then end with hugging and crying. If you had prepared for the show, we wouldn't be hugging and crying. So I suppose in some ways you're right and in some ways I'm right.
Yeah, it's this would be happening all the time on CNN if they didn't do pre-interviews.
Exactly.
They'd be crying drunk.
There'd be weeping drunk people everywhere. Everyone knows this. It's only a love of Satan that keeps the rest of us from getting drunk on air and crying.
Oh, God. And I mean, like, hey, I'm not here to shit on people expressing care for each other or anything like that. It's more the way this is happening.
Yeah.
It's not that vulnerability, which I think is a little insincere to begin with.
Yeah. But, considering he doesn't even bring up Larry Nichols.
That is
brutal.
Maybe that's what he's bummed out about.
That could be what he's bummed out about.
I don't know. Probably
not.
It. Anyway, Greg Reese is an optimistic fella, but not anymore, man.
And I'm a very optimistic person, I think, through all of this. But the day that President Trump and Melania Trump announced that they had COVID and they were going into the hospital, I would say that's the day that my optimism ended. I don't think this isn't a stunt.
They got hit. He looks sick. They hit him with something.
And to have him at Walter Reed Hospital, surrounded by big pharma, so military people. Industrial complex.
At Walter Reed?
If he were to die from quote unquote COVID, it just seems to me like everything, the enemy has everything wrapped up. So I've never seen the enemy so close to victory through all this until right now.
Poor guy lost his optimism.
Yeah.
So now we've developed fully from it's probably a false positive test to they hit Trump with something. Probably some weaponized COVID strain. And now the doctors are trying to kill him with experimental treatments at Walter Reed.
See,
this doesn't go anywhere good.
No. If this is what Reese is bringing, I'm terrified of what Pachanik would have said.
Oh, man.
Man, I want to hear it, but I want to hear it off air so no one else can hear it.
Yeah.
I want him to whisper it in my ear.
He should be on.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know what's going on, man.
You can't have him on. He'd advocate an armed overthrow now.
This isn't far off.
We need to. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're having Reese on and you're almost breaking the law.
Well, Steve wouldn't let Alex cry.
So I will put my life on the line for my child's future and this country. And we're reaching a point.
And it's not like you're even like you're doing them a favor. You wanted to already take action. That's what I'm saying is they don't get like they've got us where like we can't wait much longer. It's like it's a demand. It's like you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
Alex, slap yourself in the face twice. We gotta make Melania queen now.
Alex, get off air. You can let John Bowne and Greg Reese host. You don't need to be there.
No.
You're clearly going through something, whether it's intoxication or just over emotional whatever. It's not good. This is a bad...
No, this is bad.
So war is coming.
War is coming, naturally.
So what's going to happen next? The only way we're ever going to get through this, I think at this point there's going to be war.
War.
Exactly how war. It looks like.
War.
Tell you.
War is here. War. Yeah.
War.
It's coming.
Get ready for war.
Yeah. War.
And we're not happy about war.
War. No. Yeah.
But think of the ancient civilizations. We don't even understand half of the stuff that all line up with
already,
the stars.
Atlantis blew up. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Are you telling me that I'm going to have to die in a civil war because some asshole thinks that Atlantis already blew up?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Here's the only way I could ever regain respect for Greg Reese or John Bowne. When Alex says war twice, one of them needed to say, huh. And then the other needed to say, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Good God.
I took a drink and it took everything inside me not to spit on you.
The two of them needed to do that. That would have been so fucking funny.
Can you imagine the fucking... It would short-circuit Alex's drunk brain.
War. War.
Huh. Good God, y'all.
Say it again.
Anyways, let's get back to... Anyways, we're going to have a war, right? We're going to have a war.
Can you imagine sitting next to Alex and you're trying to express like, yeah, you know, at this point, I really don't think that there's anything that could be done except
war.
For war.
War.
And he's like, oh.
War. War.
Alex just keeps saying war.
War.
So
and then you end with, you know, a lot of us don't know what the ancients had to do. Yeah, they already blew up Atlantis. Like, okay, fine.
Sure.
Sure.
So a lot of the other wars in the past, corporate wars.
Sure.
Right?
That's true.
Not this one.
Oh, no.
I would say it's safe to say that most of the wars we grew up with are corporate wars that were started under false premises. This war is, I mean... For lack of a better word, perhaps a Christian revolution of some sort. Where
providence. That's
your
good.
Average
that's
providence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a Christian. Call it a jihad is still the Islamic term, but we are under attack. It's a crusade. They're going to come for you because your relationship with God. They're going to know in the algorithm you're connected to the big guy. They want you gone.
Yeah. It's the war in heaven is about to happen here on earth.
Whoa. Guys, this is a news show.
Do you know what's fun? It's nice when they finally just like, yeah, we're ISIS. Mm-hmm. We're gonna go. It's a jihad. We're ISIS. We're the Republican Party. We're ISIS. Come on,
it's
man.
It's a Christian.
You
jihad.
Knew we were ISIS.
Yeah, yeah.
We were ISIS. Mm-hmm. They're ISIS. We're ISIS.
Well,
it's a jihad.
But it's defensive.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, this just deteriorates into what I would describe as a zealotry session.
Sure.
We're on this planet. It's all real. Think about. We have to accept. How powerful we are. You have to accept that responsibility.
Absolutely. And right now we are, it's up to all of us. It's up to everyone. And this is why I feel so bad for the herd, is because they're missing out on one of the most epic opportunities that life ever has to offer, which is to actually take responsibility, stand up, fight evil, clean the garden, and create a world for our grandchildren. They're missing out on
all of that. We've already done. It's unlimited.
And they have an excuse for everything you just said. They have an anti-argumentative, you know, Baphomet.
And I agree. That's why we just ignore argument. Them. Because we know all they build is failure. All they build is betrayal.
Well, and it is amazing that we were given Christ.
Whoa. Alex, when he's like, all they build is betrayal, and he can't even, like, there's that pause there because yeah. Alex can't keep up with the thought.
Yeah.
And I think that John and Greg are probably just like,
okay.
Alex is going through something. Boy. Yep.
Man.
This is upsetting.
What a fun belief system. Like, the only way we can create a better world for our grandchildren is obviously by slaughtering hundreds of thousands of people. At no point was he like, maybe we could do some research into agriculture.
Nope.
That would help.
Nope. Got to take away rights from people. No,
they've never built anything. Obviously, the people who have gone around and slaughtered in order to create a grandchildren world invented microphones, right? They were the ones who did it that we're speaking into?
Definitely.
I'm sure.
So, Alex, they go to break, and I guess he like splashed some water on his face, and he comes back a little bit more composed.
Coming up, 2 hours of transmission with our brothers, John Baum, Greg Reese, and Harrison Smith.
My hand was made strong
by the hand of the Almighty.
By the end of the Almighty.
I'm telling you, there's times I don't know stuff. I'm up against the enemy, and like God just goes, it's like, just. Like, you get lit up, and you intellectually know, and you spiritually know, and you know you can't be beat.
Whoa. I mean, I feel like that's my response to a lot of this stuff is just, whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa, boy.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah, man, sometimes I'm up against the enemy, and I don't know things, and then God downloads things into my head, and I know that I'm invincible.
How about no? You go back inside.
Take a nap.
You go back inside.
Get a glass of coffee.
No shit.
Fucking get it together, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
What are you doing? You understand that people could hear this?
I just wish it was just the two of us. That would be nice. That would be nice.
My brothers, John Baum and Greg Reese. Let me tell you about how God gives me magic.
I don't. Sir, 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 please.
Hey, you know what'll help me sober up? More booze. Doot, 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 boop.
Sir, I know this Denny serves whiskey.
Yeah,
but
it does.
Please. You have to go.
Speaking of which, can I get another whiskey?
Yeah, of course you may. This is a Denny's. Of course you can.
Wow. Just ridiculous. So we already heard earlier the John Bound and Greg Reese discussing, and Alex too, discussing how they don't do any pre-interviews.
Right.
And that's sort of a sign of virtue.
Sure.
And again, they get more into this. No preparation means good.
It's almost predictable when a report comes on like just inspired and rapid and quick and gets it out, that those tend to be over the target. Whereas if I spend a lot of time, you know, trying to pick a report and stuff like that, it's like the more ego is involved in my report, the less effective it is. But you can feel the spirit.
Right.
It just comes on fast and hard.
It's almost like when you do too much research, you get too much into it. Those aren't the ones that are successful.
Exactly.
It's the one where God just says, hey, come on.
Right.
We need this out.
Yeah, and then usually my ego is actually questioning.
And again, they want their broadcast to be God. We're tuning to God. We're tuning to the real thing.
Okay, Alex.
Go be three old men in a bar. That's where that conversation is fine.
Sure.
Play cards.
No, I mean, I understand kind of what, like, there's two things that I would say in response to the work process that they're discussing.
Sure.
One is creativity is a really interesting thing where a lot of times inspiration can strike in a way that you can feel like you're a conduit of creativity. And, like, sometimes, I'm sure you experienced this when you were writing your book.
Absolutely. Flows out of you.
And at times it's harder, and at times it's easier.
Yep.
And I know that back when I used to do stand-up, that's something a lot of people would talk about the experience of the flow, you know? That kind of thing where you're sitting around writing, you can't get anything going, and then out of nowhere, and then you get a page.
Sure, sure.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's one thing. That's creativity.
Yeah.
work and research is a little different.
A little.
I do not think that what they're describing is like the flow or anything. I think it's, oh, this is easy.
Yeah, that's the way I would go with it.
Yeah, they intuitively and instinctually just gravitate towards things that are not very difficult. Yeah. And these dumb boutique making conservatives angry stories are really easy. Yelling about the devil is really easy. Getting into the nuance of things is not. It's very challenging.
Here's what I heard from that. I heard my workflow is I go through a bunch of headlines, and then when I see one that makes me think, ooh, I'm almost done, that's the one that I work on.
Yes, that's what I hear too.
Yeah.
And I'm really sick and tired of these people like Alex and his employees trying to present not trying and putting in no effort and taking just the easiest path as some kind of indication of like rigor, virtue, or God is working through me.
Yeah.
Because it's not. You're just lazy and bad.
No, this is totally like that failed comedians become right-wing commentators, because this is the type of conversation that I heard in the back of an open mic from first and second year baby comics all the time. Mm-hmm. Just that, like, you know, my writing process is, it's all about inspiration. You know, it hits me and I don't really do too much and all that stuff. And you're like, Jesus Christ.
Hey, dudes, why don't you try and get a job at any other outlet with that ideology?
Yeah, no
try
kidding.
And get a job anywhere but InfoWars if you work like that.
Yeah.
Not a fucking chance.
Tell me, oh, I love doing stand-up. Then fucking care about working at it, asshole.
You, Greg, and John work at InfoWars, and you have for a long time, because you're unemployable in any other capacity, because what you do sucks.
Yep.
Anyway, Greg says something really stupid here, and I just kept this in because it's kind of like, it's fun.
And you could feel the psychology the moment Trump went in the hospital, and I would argue that even people on the left probably felt it, that there was a sense of, he offered a sense of security in the past few years.
Well, the stock market went up. We had people like, America's opening again. But now you feel it. Oh, wait, it's not.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man. Oh, boy.
I feel like when Trump went to the hospital, the left was really like, oh, no, we're insecure.
Okay, here's the invention for the doctor who kills Trump. All right. Here's the invention that he has to make. It's a little device that attaches to every right-wing commentator's shoulder right here.
On their right wing.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And then whenever they say something like, I think Trump has made us all feel a sense of security, a little hand comes out and slaps him in the face.
Could be an interesting invention. I don't know if it's as groundbreaking as like a telephone. Or
sure.
Bite.
I honestly, it might do more for society.
So we have one last clip, and it's Alex. I would say he spent the better part of this hour just having a Christian zealotry session with these two dudes.
It does seem like it, yes.
And so it's kind of funny that he's promoting the next show as being the one where they can really have the time to get into the topics.
Wow.
I want to thank the right crew tonight here. Owen normally hosts this show. The next 2 hours only has 6 minutes ads an hour, so we're going to have a lot of time to cover every issue, a lot of time to play the clips, a lot of time to go over all the news. But just remember, the enemy wants you to feel powerless and not realize the power you have, word of mouth, to tell folks about this show right now. We are so close to winning, so close to losing.
I've wasted a ton of time on this show, but that's why the next show has plenty of time to talk about the things.
That's fascinating.
Now, the devil wants you to feel powerless, but you have the power to promote my stuff for free. I got to go to bed.
It's just the confidence of somebody who knows my audience can't stop listening. You know? Like,
it's too threatening to their sense of self.
Totally.
To abandon me at this point.
Do you know what somebody, if they didn't like our show, Dan, they know inside, I'll just turn it off and click unsubscribe.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to do a good job.
Well, I think I just also would feel pretty bad.
Yeah, of course. I understand that.
I think with or without an audience, I would feel a certain responsibility.
Remember when we didn't have an audience?
Well, quite
but,
well.
But the idea that you could just be like, yeah, I fucked around and cried and got drunk and just had a nice little bull sesh with my friends. And
about Jesus.
T- tomorrow's show is going to be great. Like, yeah. No way.
And the show that these two dudes that I've been crying with are about to host is going to be great. And they're going to, you know what? It's going to be just like this, but replace me with my intern, Harrison Smith.
Yeah.
Isn't that exciting?
That is going to blow your
Spoiler
minds.
Alert. That is not exciting.
You can just, guys, you just turn it off.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
It would be nice if they did. And based on the comments that I was seeing on band.video, it seemed like a lot of folks
it's
were.
It's about time.
I think a lot of people were like, come on, man, poisoning the fucking Walter Reed doctors are trying to kill. What is this?
Yeah.
And I don't know how indicative those comments are of any like generalized feeling.
Sure.
I don't track the comments on there generally. So I don't know how different that is from normal.
Sure.
And it could be trolls fucking around or something.
Right.
I did enjoy seeing it.
Yeah.
People saying grow up.
It warms your heart.
Yeah.
Warms your heart when somebody finally tells.
It's the appropriate response.
Yeah, exactly.
When you see it, you like it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Interestingly, I mean, we come to the end of this this weekend coverage and
slam dunk.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I was going to call that a slam dunk.
It's interesting
of a weekend.
How it doesn't feel like Alex thinks that Trump.
You realize the president might die in the next few days? Of the United States.
I mean, Alex is even. He clearly is aware of that. He said
yeah.
it. He says as much. He's not acting as if that's the case.
No,
and that's kind of weird to me. And I don't know what the deal is.
Well, the way he said he would act if it were the case would be to start a fucking war.
That is true.
And it seems like right now they're all trying to like psych themselves up because they know that they have no interest in a war.
Well, I mean, like, if by Sunday, Alex is drunkenly talking about he's sure that they hit Trump with something and they're trying to kill him in the hospital.
Yeah.
Like,
what are you doing about it?
Yeah.
Nothing.
If you believe that's in any way true,
how are you still on the radio talking with your two friends?
Right. I'd seen some headlines that were saying that, like, Alex had said that he's going to go fly to D.C. to help Trump or whatever.
That would be fun.
I didn't hear that on his show. He must have put out, like, some kind of other video where he said that.
And he was on the way to the airport on Friday, but then he changed his mind. It was like
Love
Actually thing. Like, at the airport, Trump showed up with a thing, and he was like, oh, my God.
So Alex might be going to DC, maybe not. Also, Marathon Money Bomb on Wednesday.
Sure.
A lot
sure.
of stuff coming up.
Oh, boy.
I hate this. I'm glad that I found something else, this little side project that's like really helping keep me really interested and my attention away from like how much I think this is all spiraling down the drain.
Yeah.
But we'll be deep coverage of that money bomb. That's for sure. But before we get out of here today, Jordan, let's take some voicemails from the people.
Hey, Tac guys. I hope this is you. Otherwise, someone is about to get a really weird message. This is Oren Rye from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And a couple weeks ago, you mentioned not really being into Warhammer 40,000, which I think is a shame because they offer a lot of solutions to the Alex Jones problem. Like this section of lore from the Orc Codex, which I believe sums up Alex pretty well. Weird boys are psychically powerful orcs who act as a focal point for the energy subconsciously generated by their green-skinned comrades, energy that binds them together with a common purpose. Unfortunately, weird boys struggle to control this buildup of psychic power. Lights flash around his head, sparks fly from his eyes, and raw power starts to dribble from his mouth, nose, and ears, which I think Alex has described himself, in his actions. Unless the weird boy finds some way to release this pent-up energy, his head will explode. Weird boys live in special huts away from the other boys and are not allowed to wander about unless wearing warning bells and escorted by an entourage, which inevitably includes the strangest and most disturbed of all green skins in the tribe. Which to me sounds a lot like Alex Jones and his rogue gallery of cranks and grifters. Other than that, I really love the show, love you, and take it easy. Thanks so much.
Well, that does sound like Alex.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like Alex.
Yeah.
Do you think every leader of a Proud Boy cell is called a weird boy?
Weird boys!
Weird boys!
Yeah, but I would say, I mean, like, if they have the Grand Wizard of the KKK, then the Proud Boys have to have some sort of a fun honorific title.
Totally.
I feel like I actually do know this.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I just I'm thinking of like various people who were Proud Boys, like Rufio Panman.
Sure, that's true. That's true.
Based Stickman.
Yeah. If one of them, if any one of them has stolen Raptor Princess, we literally personally have to go fight the Proud Boys.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next. Next call.
Jordan, just want to say it's Pants Crooker. No, I'm fucking with you. It's Taylor from Kansas City. What superpower would you abuse?
That's it. That's the call. The question asked.
That wasn't a terrible Australian accent. I will give him that.
No,
and, that wasn't terrible at all.
And shout out to Kansas City, home of the best ice cream shop in America, yes. Betty Ray's.
That
check
you
it out
have
if you're
no
ever,
nope, association
no connection
with
to it all.
This is a very nice message for you. Superpower would you abuse?
What does abuse mean? Like, I understand that, like, peeping on people with X-ray vision is definitely abusing power.
Totally.
I wouldn't do that. But, like, if I could have, like, the power to grow plants.
Sure. You would abuse that power for sure.
But how would I abuse it?
Like,
tying people up with plants? Because I wouldn't do that.
No, see, here's my question to you. Like, because I think it's kind of what we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to abuse people with the power.
No, but see, that's the issue.
How do you abuse just the power?
Exactly.
All right. Now, here's my theory on how you abuse just the power.
You have to be wasteful with it.
Exactly. I can create anything, or I can turn anything into diamonds or gold, and I just never do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can... Any financial problem, I just never do it. I abuse that power.
So if I were growing...
Or maybe I use that responsibly by not using that power, Dan.
So if I were to grow plants, then
sure.
I would be like, I just refuse to make food for anybody.
Yes. That would be an abuse of your power.
But I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't abuse a power, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if I could, like... Look, let's be honest.
Sure.
If I could, like, communicate with ATMs with my mind and, like, take out money...
Sure.
I might do that.
Well, that's not an abuse of your power. That's the only responsible way to use it. That money's not even real, Dan.
Yeah, that's where the debate comes in. What does it mean to abuse a superpower?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I mean, how would you abuse flying?
Just do it too much. You're stealing it from the birds, Dan.
That's too much.
You're stealing air from the birds.
Huh.
You're taking up too much airspace.
I think intrinsically abusing a superpower means that you're doing it in a villainous way.
Yeah, to another person.
Right.
Yeah,
like you're using your brain powers to force people to do things.
Sure, sure.
And I wouldn't want to mess with any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know if you
Well, it's like going to a gun range, you know? Like you're using if your superpower is your gun and you go to the gun range, you're using your superpower responsibly.
Mm-hmm.
You're not abusing that power. You're shooting it, you know? In a safe space.
I thought of one maybe.
Sure.
Like okay, so if I could breathe underwater,
okay.
I might just go and live in the water.
Okay.
That might be abusing the power because I'd be isolating myself from all humankind living with fish.
I mean, if you weren't susceptible to cold, you'd live in Antarctica. That's not really abusing your power.
I mean, it would just be using the power to facilitate me living in the middle of nowhere.
I think you're just trying to abuse the rest of us by moving into the middle of nowhere.
That's not abusing anybody. That's just me living in the woods.
Dan, don't hide your light under the woods.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know. That's an interesting philosophical question about how one would abuse a power.
Yeah, I don't think he was expecting us to answer thusly.
No.
Mm.
I don't have a good answer, I guess.
Me neither.
Hmm.
Hiya. This is a message for Dan and Jordan. My name is Celia. I just wanted to phone in with a big thank you for the show and the insight and the humor that you guys provide. I heard about you from my son, who's been an avid listener, and now I'm a senior citizen. So I guess that's two generations that you've captured. But I also want to thank you. I've just finished the debate podcast, and my God, I got to thank you guys for taking one for the team. So, big hug from Canada, socially distance, of course, and stay safe and stay sane, and thank you for doing your work. Bye now.
Shout out to our parent wants.
Yes, thank you very much.
How weird is that? That's
very weird.
It's so neat and unexpected, the idea that someone would, Like, I never thought anyone would like this show to begin with.
Totally.
But then the idea that someone would like it and then their parent would be able to enjoy it with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've heard that from a couple of folks over the course of doing this show.
Totally.
Way more than expected. And, mm-hmm. and like, it's just really neat that there is some sort of a generational appeal.
Yeah.
And that there are parents out there who don't mind my potty mouth.
Ah, nice, Dan. No, that is interesting. Like, I understand on a certain level because, you know, I can go watch a movie with my dad. And the two of us will both appreciate this piece of culture in a similar way. And we'll be like, yeah, this is enjoyable. But not anything where it's like, I'm talking about politics and shit. Like, so I don't just that intergenerational sharing of it's very fascinating.
Our podcast is not a piece of culture.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's my point.
Yeah,
it is hard to view our podcast as something like that movie that you and your dad could go watch together.
I would say so. And that's really cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Jordan. My name is Mark, and I'm from Scotland. I'm talking very slow, so hopefully you can understand what I'm saying. I love the podcast. Love you guys. Keep up the good work. I was calling about episode 460, Donk's Dojo, where you were discussing Donald Trump's dislike of wind farms. Now, I believe I know why that is. About 10 years ago, Donald Trump was building a golf course in Scotland. Aberdeen, my hometown. I was actually involved in the project. Now, at the same time, there was a wind farm being built off the coast of Aberdeen. And Donald Trump did not like this one bit. So he put on his face and he went to the Scottish Parliament and said, you need to stop this construction. Otherwise, these Chinese turbines are going to destroy your tourism industry. Then, when asked for evidence of this claim, he said, I am the evidence, which got a big laugh in the Scottish Parliament. So he left. He had a big bust-up with them. He didn't get his way at all. And, the Scottish Parliament decided that the best course of action was to build the world's largest turbine off the coast of Aberdeen, my hometown, in view of Trump's golf course, which I thought was bloody hilarious. He didn't like it one bit, and I believe that's where his dislike of wind farms comes from, because he didn't get his way. Anyway, keep up the good work. Love you guys. Peace out.
Shout out Scotland.
Yes, very much shout out Scotland.
Love a Scottish brogue.
I love it. Indeed. Yeah.
Got just a great accent.
Yeah.
My buddy, his dad had a real thick Scottish accent.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I always will cherish, very fond memory, is like we'd go over to his house every now and again. And like this is when we were in college, and his dad would be like, insist that me and another friend of ours drink scotch with him.
Yeah,
he was obsessed with scotch whiskey.
Of course,
hated that I would drink like Jim Beam. So I was like, no, you got to try this stuff. You got to try the good stuff.
Yeah,
just the way the words roll out.
Mm.
God damn.
Yeah,
it's very
very very beautiful.
Sorry to be all what would you call it?
Maudlin?
No. Oh.
Nostalgic?
No.
Lost in memory?
No.
Just a cutie.
Objectifying. I'm sorry to be objectifying of the Scottish accent.
Okay, I gotcha.
Caller, I know that you're more than just that voice, but I appreciate
you. You are fetishizing the Scottish brogue.
Yeah, that's no good.
I
apologize.
No.
But also, I've heard that theory about Trump and wind farms before. I think there's something to it.
I like it.
Yeah.
Hello, Ted guys. It's Policy Wonk. Alexia Jonasov. I hear show. You thank me by full name. Why you do this? You think I am joke? Now I am probably disappeared because of you. It's okay. I'm not mad. Death comes for all. Anyways, love from Russia. Thank you for exposing lies of Alex Jones, with whom I hear share coincidentally similar name. Bye-bye for now. Also, he's Quokka.
Just
okay.
Just good.
All right.
Just a good bit.
All right.
Just a good bit. Just a well thought out
all
bit.
All right. I'll give him that.
Yep.
I'll give it.
I would be not surprised if that person wasn't from Russia.
Yes.
But we should say that the person from Scotland is not a fake person doing a voice from Scotland. And maybe that person is actually Russian and they're just still fucking around with the fake name.
Totally.
I don't know.
Or that's their real name.
I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got to get out of here, Jordan, but yes. We'll be back. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yes, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight and @GoToBedJordan.
You can find us on Facebook.
Indeed. But if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. I'm Weechius.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.